This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Man alive. I figured Louisville would be in shape and take care of business. 62-22, your final. And if you didn't see Malik Cunningham last night, you missed out on one of the all-time performances. 303 yards passing, 224 yards rushing, 7 touchdowns. And oh, by the way, he didn't even play in the last 12 minutes of the game.
Freaky. Just unbelievable to watch his ownership of this offense, the plays that he made on the ground. I mean, it just makes you scratch your head, Pack. He's got all day to run. And really, you and I were sitting there watching this game, and on two of his big touchdown runs, he's, you know, 20 yards downfield. There's nobody even in the camera. There's nobody in the view. You know, Duke's going man-to-man press and trying their hardest to be competitive. And when you do that, when you turn around and you're not looking at the quarterback, everybody's running with a guy. So there's nowhere – there's nobody in sight here, and you see the speed, you see the vision, the balance that Malik is just shown. It's so impressive to watch him play. It's so fun to watch him play.
He just looked like a kid running out in the fields.
Yeah.
Playing by himself.
This is the one. I mean, look at all these opportunities. Dead in the water. No, I'm going to just go for 70-plus right here.
55, don't even think about it.
Unbelievable.
don't even think about it.
That's a good-looking athlete, man. And that off, I mean, look at the big uglies running downfield. They're getting in the end zone with them. I mean, if you're Louisville, not Duke, if you're Louisville, that was a fun game last night. And you've got a lot of mo going into this Kentucky game, and you're feeling really good bringing those guys to Louisville. Let's line them up and play.
Malik Cunningham, after the game, said, you know, I just could have played better. I left some yards out there. I'm thinking, what?
Where?
What? Where? Excuse me? 303 passing, 224 running. Louisville ended up with 62 points, 687 total yards. Just goofy.
There you go. How about some first half stats?
Ho-hum.
Just average. Just 367.
The hardest thing Malik had in the, right there at that point in time was the three-mile walk to the locker room. It was the hardest part.
Not he had the three-mile walk. It's awful. It's so far. Coach, I said, listen, Coach Sweeney, can we just sit in the middle of this field here? Bring the orange slices. Bring the juice. We can talk right here. We don't have to go all the way back there. It's so far. It's a great strategy, though.
One of my favorite players in this league since we started doing the show on ACC Network was Paris Ford from Pittsburgh. Tremendous player. And he plays Duke and gets called for targeting and ejected. And I'll never forget watching the game. And there goes Paris Ford walking to the locker room. And it was just like, you know, he's got 10 miles to walk. To get to the locker room.
Takes him 7 minutes to get back.
Right. I mean, come on. What are we doing? But it's Malik awful. Cunningham last night was just awesome. I mean, only way to describe it.
Yeah.
And he was under the weather, wasn't feeling great. Didn't matter. He's just out there playing ball, having a good time with his buds. And the flip side, and we talked about this in hour one, it was almost painful to watch David Cutcliffe have to watch his team. Yeah. And there was really, quite frankly, nothing he could do.
Right.
I mean, they defensively have been abysmal. And I'm being kind with that description. The last five games are giving up an average of 51.4 points a game. And I gave you the numbers, 62, 48, 54, 45, 48. That sounds like a lottery ticket. Man, they just – when you can't defend –
it's tough.
You're in for a long day.
Especially playing a team like Louisville that can score will and offensively has done so many great things. And I know it's just unbelievably frustrating for – Cut in the things that he expects, and the standard for him is championships. I mean, that his whole career, you've seen him, you know, really have great success, and I can't even imagine what it's like having that, not hopelessness, but just the fact that you go into a game thinking, we've got to scheme the heck out of this. We've got to figure something out, put our guys in position to win, because quite frankly, the body types from a whole level. There's guys that are going to make it to the next level and into the league, and you know they'll have another great year. But when you just look at the team, you're just like, man, it's just not enough. It's not enough dudes.
Duke is 0-7 in the league. They're on the cusp of posting their 7th winless season in conference play since 2000. And I'll say this again. When he got to town, they were awful. Right. I mean, they were just
from a bunch of different standpoints,
facilities, attitude, players, losses. I mean, you name it. Every box was checked of why are we a doormat? David Cutcliffe and Duke said, you know what? We're better than this. And they did a great job. They made a commitment to facilities. Cut did an amazing job recruiting, winning. They became competitive. They won the division in 2013. And I hope that folks remember, whenever David Cutcliffe decides, hey, I'm good, I'm going to go fish or whatever he wants to do the rest of his life, I hope folks remember the job he's done at Duke. Yes. And not what we watched last night or the second half of this season or the last 2 years. He's been brilliant at Duke. And for folks to go, oh, Packett's a bit strong. No, it's not.
Yeah.
Not when you realize what he inherited, because it was a mess at Duke. And to turn those guys into a championship program right. for when they did,
yeah.
and I know that was a spike in 2013, but he stayed consistent in terms of, hey, at least they would be competitive.
Yeah.
Now, that wasn't just a, like last night, you just watched Louisville walk in and go, cool, we're going to score every time we touch it.
Right.
If we didn't have our punt block, we're going to go score then too.
Exactly.
I mean, it was that kind of night watching the football game. So I just hope that people remember David Cutcliffe. And again, I'm not trying to push him out the door. He makes his own call here. But I'm going to remember him as a guy that did a phenomenal job at Duke University.
Just understanding that there's a certain level of respect that needs to be held with the situation. I have Duke fans saying, it's time to move on. It's time to do this. I'm like, what are you talking about? It's time when he says.
That's
and
right.
He's earned that right in the things that he's done for this university that I don't think anyone else could have gotten them to this point. Guys, there was a track around the football field when I played there back in the day. And it is much different now. The commitment that he has been able to get – you know, from people to get this program to a necessary spot, it's been tremendous.
Yeah, for me personally, I just don't want to see Duke football fall into the rut that they were in when he got there and people go, well, we haven't made any improvement. Wrong.
Correct.
You could not be more incorrect
yes.
in terms of that assessment if that's where you're falling into.
Right.
So it was tough to watch last night. Duke does have one more game, Miami next week. That won't be easy either. TVD coming in there throwing balls all over the place. But Duke defensively is just it is just not competitive.
Yeah, it's going to be really tough next week if they're not tackling people, being in the right spot, and they're down. I mean, so many guys, injuries in the backfield. They love to run that three safety look, and they're down a bunch of guys right now. So
yep.
It's going to be a rough ending.
A couple other things before we do some more game breakdowns. Men's basketball last night, we had a couple games on the docket. Clemson knocked off Temple. Nick Honor went nuts, made everything he looked at. From that perspective, good win for the Tigers. They're now 4-0. They've not lost with Will Durham on that roster.
That's
down there,
right. That's right.
Still remain perfect.
Offensive explosion. He's the mastermind behind all that, I've got to think.
Clemson's got St. Bonaventure coming up, by the way. The Bonnies are 22 in the country. That will be a very good test down in Charleston. And Virginia Tech takes care of business, defeating St. Francis by 30. I point out that Virginia Tech next week has Memphis.
It's going to be a great game.
Great game.
Can't wait to watch that. You got kind of experienced older guys versus some, you know, young bloods that are going to be lottery picks. It's going to be a fun matchup. Both those teams next week, it'll be fun.
Yep, no question. Women's basketball last night, good news in the ACC from that perspective. A number of scores for you. Florida State took care of business. They knocked off Jacksonville 64-39. Terrific defensive effort for the 17th-ranked team in the country. Kenny Meyer in Miami, no problem. They beat FAU by 8. The Deeks continue to roll. They defeated Charlotte by 6 in a tight one. And everybody's whispering in down the hallway about Notre Dame women's basketball coming back. Could be one of those teams you got to deal with this year in addition to the powers of like Louisville and NC State.
Is this a Texas we're back situation?
That could be a good analogy, except the problem is every time I hear somebody say Texas is back, they're losing to Kansas. So I think Notre Dame women's basketball is probably in a better spot.
Duke beat Kansas, right?
They did.
That's interesting. Interesting.
Scoreboard. It matters. Speaking of scoreboard, the NCAA soccer tournament is underway for both the men and the women. For the most part, pretty good news. Wake Forest knocked off Mercer 2-1. Kyle Holcomb with a pair of goals.
Who called that game?
I don't know. Don't know the answer to that. North Carolina, no problem with Loyola Maryland because they won it in penalty kicks.
That's right.
That nil-nil, we go to penalty
kicks.
How
about three saves? How about when that's the – like, you know it's a big deal when you're just snatching the soccer ball out of the air.
Actual shots on goal.
That's right. That's big time.
Virginia Tech, Campbell, 2-1, final, W. Louisville, unfortunately, lost 1-0 to Bowling Green. Only one shot on goal for the Cardinals.
That's tough. Got to get some offense going.
Yeah, got to be able to score. And women's soccer, the number one team, Virginia, defeated – actually, number one seed, Virginia, defeated Milwaukee 2-0. So there you go.
Wahoo, baby. Come on.
Yep. NCAA soccer. It's always good. The league is loaded. We got a number of things to do because we've got more games to break down. We still have like three or four we have not addressed yet. We will do that when we return. And we'll go to Raleigh, North Carolina to start things. Syracuse in the house. Take it on NC State. We'll get into that and others. That's right. Eric McLean filling in for Wes. You guys right here on Packer and Durham on the ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Here we go. Saturday, college football lineup right here on ACC Network and the ESPN app. Noon Eastern time. Coming off their big win against their rival Miami, Florida State, heading to Boston College. Presented by the good folks at Subway. That's right. Phil Jakovic's back. Hadn't lost. Hey, well, he's 4-0 this year. Watch out is right. Then NC State looking to bounce back. Against Syracuse, both teams taking L's last week. See if maturity comes into play here for Dave Dorn's team.
Yeah.
Prime time, get it all over you. Wes Durham's on the call there.
Come on, Wes.
Presented by the good folks
Roddy
at Geico.
Jones.
Roddy Jones be there. Yeah.
Come on.
Virginia Tech, Miami from the Hard Rock. That's your triple header tomorrow right here on ACC football.
Has to go bowling, isn't it?
You got a little huddle action. You got a little football action. What more do you want?
Perfect weekend.
What more do you want? All right, let's break down some of these games. Syracuse, NC State. Cuse last week absolutely woodshedded by Louisville. 41-3.
That was weird. That was weird.
Thought it was going to be close.
Yeah.
It was not.
Team of mystery. Strikes
That's
again.
It. And then last night, spectacular again, rocking, doing their thing. NC State, emotional game, everything all in, right? So an all in kind of game last week. You guys were there in Winston-Salem. They lose a tough one, 45-42. Both teams coming off L's. The emotion for NC State is, hey, you got two home games left, and you still have a chance to say, guess what? We're the champs of the division.
Yeah.
Still got a chance.
Got to take care of yourself. Got to win your games that you have in front of you. Two big ones in Syracuse and the running attack that we know that they have. Sean Tucker 11 yards away from becoming the single season leader there for rushing. What an amazing accomplishment when you think of, you know, the running backs that they have had there. That young man just going to shatter records for Syracuse as long as he stays. And really that 1-2 punch, it's been difficult for teams outside of Louisville out of nowhere. To contain that because you just have two really good running options there. And, you know, what Schrader does by being such an effective runner is it doesn't allow a defense to just load up and attack Sean. You have to respect and defend both of them. But if there's a defense that I think can replicate what we just saw from Louisville, it's going to be this NC State defense.
NC State's really owned the series. They've won 12 of the 14 against the Orange. And you mentioned that, you know, Sean Tucker has just been such a great story. 1,362 yards rushing this year. And Syracuse, by the way, one of three Football Bowl subdivision teams with multiple players that have scored at least 10 rushing touchdowns.
Wow.
Only three in the country have them. Syracuse is one of them. Ole Miss, Michigan, and Syracuse. Those are the only three.
Wow.
So that combination is a problem. I think this is where you find out, though, about the maturity level of NC State's team.
Yes.
Right? I mean, this is, hey, you're coming off the tough loss. And for Syracuse, hey, you're playing for a bowl. You're one win away from saying we're going bowling.
Yep.
Missed the opportunity last week, didn't play well. Have to go back on the road, which is tough. But I think NC State, you find out what that locker room is about. Hey, guys, last week was tough. Put it behind you. Let's get to work.
You have to, just because you have so much still right there in front of you and you need help, but you've got to take care of yourself. And I think you're absolutely right, Pack. When you have a team coming off of so much emotion and you put so much into that game that came down to, you know, a young man touching the ball at 9 3/4 instead of 10 yards to get the ball on an onside kick that was executed very well up to that point. There's a lot that you can be thinking about. There's a lot of, wow, man, what if I did this different? And you can't. You've got to get rid of all of that. So I think you're absolutely right. The seniority, the leadership, the experience and coaching staff, they're going to have to all come together and really rise to the top here because this is no pushover game at all.
And you also can't look ahead to, hey, we got North Carolina next week.
It's
right?
a weird spot to be in.
And that game, by the way, is going to have some juice.
Oh, no question.
I mean, that's going to be personal next week, the day after Thanksgiving.
That's one of my favorite. I love that rivalry game.
Well, that one, who knows? If everything plays out maybe a certain way, that game could really have something rolling on it next week. So kind of curious to see how NC State handles adversity from last week. Do they go about their business? And a Syracuse team who defensively has really been pretty good
right.
all season long until last week. And I expect him to play well. That game last week really confused me. That was the one that was like, what?
Such an anomaly. It was just random and didn't see that coming at all. And Devin Leary and the boys in for a tough one. Now, he's been excellent. You saw the QBR yesterday where you guys show, hey, fourth quarter, he's the best. He's the one that's going to take this team to another level. And I think we'll see more of that just because of how special he is, the connection that he has with his receivers. Pack, there were a couple of throws to Emeka Emezi, and we had him on a couple of weeks ago on this show and asked him about, you know, his relationship with Devin, and then I got to speak with Devin as well. There were a couple of throws that you just have because that's one of your best friends. You right. just know where he is, how he can catch the ball, and I was honestly just looking at it like, wow, that was beautiful.
Devin Leary and Sam Hartman both have 21 touchdown passes this year in ACC play. That's the top of the league.
Wow.
I mean, Devin Leary.
Ballers.
He is just one of those guys. We keep rattling off all these, you know, high-profile guys quarterback-wise in the league. And to me, Devin Leary and Malik Cunningham.
I feel like those are the two.
Are the two guys who just kind of fly underneath the radar. Yeah. They just make plays and do their thing. And, of course, Cunningham showed you last night how unbelievably dynamic he can be. But Devin Leary, to me, is solid, no nonsense, make the right plays. Again, I know he had two picks last week. He also had 408 yards passing. Right. But Devin Leary's been smart with the football. Yeah. He's really had a terrific year.
We've had such a great year of quarterback play. There was so much hype and excitement coming into this year. Those guys have more than delivered all year long. The really fun thing, Pack, a lot of these guys are coming back.
Yeah.
It's going to be unbelievable going into 22, the excitement that we'll have at that position again.
All right, let's switch gears. Boston College, they host Florida State. I mentioned to you, I think the emotion on this game is a good one because BC's got their quarterback back, right? Dracovic's 4-0 as a starter. BC, after kind of a win, just lost October, all of a sudden they kind of found their mojo again. All of a sudden things are good. They get the next two games at home, be nice and chilly up there in Chestnut Hill for those boys from the Sunshine State. Wake Forest goes up there next week. And here's Florida State off the emotion, and I mean emotion, of their arch rival Miami. A great football game last weekend in Tallahassee where they jumped out to the 17-0 lead, then got outscored 28-3, and then found a way to win in the fourth
quarter. Fourth and 16.
I mean, it was fourth and 14.
Make a shirt, man. Make a shirt.
Well, it was high drama, pressure filled. Literally, that was anybody's game fourth quarter. But if you're Florida State, all of a sudden you're looking around going, hey, wait a minute, man. We go win at Boston College. We got the Gators left. The Gators are an absolute train wreck. Right. We can go beat those guys. Yeah. We're going to a bowl. Who Absolutely. Would have ever thought that at 0-4?
No question.
Nobody.
And I think same thing for NC State and all the emotion and you know feelings that came in a loss. Florida State has to deal with as well in a win and exciting. And you've got to keep it in the rearview mirror. You can't just be thinking about, man, what a great win we had against our rival because you have a big-time matchup and a quarterback in Phil Dracovic who changes the game. And so I think when you look at this, you have a quarterback in Jordan Travis who is by far coming off his best game passing, leading this team, marching down the field for a victory, and Phil Dracovic coming off of his best game this season with what he did with his legs. 5 total touchdowns, a hat trick, running it on the ground, and over 300 yards passing. So we have so many electric quarterback battles this entire weekend.
I mentioned NC State had dominated Syracuse in the series, winning 12 of the 14. Florida State has dominated BC in recent times, winning 9 of the last 10. And I mentioned the fact, too, that, you know, the 0-4 start for the Noles. How unusual is it for somebody to start 0-4 and get to a bowl? We've not seen somebody pull that off since Colorado in 1986. Wow. Only two teams have been able to say, LLLL, oh, but no problem. We're going to get to 6 and go to a bowl. So there is a lot to play for if you're Florida State. Again, the momentum of last week, same thing with BC. Right? You got two young coaches trying to set that foundation about, hey, it's all about winning, especially November when it matters the most. I think this is a really important game. It's not going to have any bearing whatsoever on who gets to Charlotte, but I think it's got a ton to do with 22.
Yeah,
a lot to do with
next
year.
No question. And just building that culture. Two coaches start at the same time, as you said. And, just that momentum. I mean, if you're Florida State, you just laid it out for us. If you're Florida State and end up in a bowl game, taking that into 22 will be so important. And then for Boston College, the excitement of getting your quarterback back and understanding we are so different with this guy. We can beat anybody. with this guy. And so really big weekend for both. And then, of course, next week as well, when we start getting to rivalry week, that Florida-Florida State game, that's going to be fun. It's going to be
real fun. And who knows on the other side? I mean, that's not our problem.
Right.
But who knows about the other side? It's so rough. This is a really important weekend for Florida State and for BC. Hey, you know what? If you go go WW to finish the year off and you go 8-4, you're going to look back and go, what would it have been if Phil Jurkovec's our guy every single week?
No question.
And what's our future like?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's the thing.
And he hasn't made a decision yet, but I would assume that, you know, he comes back just to when you look at the success, and especially with what Kenny's doing right now, you see the effect here, you know, with him and how different they are. I mean, these numbers are crazy, Pack.
QB makes a difference.
There's no question. I mean, most important player on the field. And I know I'm an offensive guy, and I know I'm, you know, whatever. But this is a direct correlation here. I mean, an 18-point swing, the margin of victory, 23-point. I mean, it's nuts to see a guy impact somebody that much.
And we give you those numbers, and they're offensive-driven, but it also has an effect on your defense.
No question.
Where all of a sudden the defensive guys go, hey, man, we got a guy to make plays. Let's just get off the field.
Right, exactly.
Because we feel like we're stealing.
And guess what? They're not giving you three and out. Oh, sorry, boys. Go back out there. Try to do something for us. It's the other way around. Hey, we're going to score. Just get us the ball back. Y'all rest. You know, go in there, get a pick, get a fumble. We'll take care of the rest. But, I mean, he impacts this team like we've seen very few be able to do.
Yep. It's going to be a fun game tomorrow. Georgia Tech, they're on the road going to Notre Dame. It will not be easy. The Jackets are 3-7. And for Notre Dame at 9-1, Brian Kelly's done a tremendous job. Got a chance with a W to make it 5 consecutive years of 10 or more wins. I don't care who you are. That's hard to do in this day and age. But for the Jackets, nobody has a tougher close than Jeff Collins, because you got Notre Dame on the road, the Irish sitting there in a good spot at number 8 in the latest college football playoff poll. And then, oh, by the way, you get number 1 Georgia the following week.
As a consolation prize.
Yeah, congratulations. Merry Christmas. God bless you. Yeah. That is tough. I don't care. There's nobody got a tougher stretch than Georgia Tech.
No, and I know this isn't the Notre Dame network, and they don't want to be friends anymore, for football at least. But when you look
even
at that
even though we'd like
team,
to have you.
We would love to. I can draw a contract if you like.
If you're in the
When you look at that team and how they have changed who they are, I mean, offensive line was abysmal to start the season. Pressures, sacks, I think they were around 20 sack mark in the first 4 or 5 weeks. And then they play Virginia Tech, and everything changed. The attitude of the offensive line, a little bit of personnel. They had a offensive tackle, left tackle come in, a big alt come in and really just change everything. The mindset, who they are, what they want to do. So Georgia Tech is going to have their hands full. And Kyren Williams just left off the Doak Walker watch list or semifinal list. He's going to want to make a statement.
And boy, is he a player.
Very good.
And so is Gibbs.
I'm excited to see him and Gibbs.
Yeah, those
go head
two
to head
are
all
really
night long.
Good, man.
That's right.
Jackets, by the way, 4-game losing streak. I know they're not happy about that. They've also lost 10 consecutive games to AP top 10 teams, and they're going to play 2 of them coming up here to try to snap it. But I do think there's been some improvement with Jeff Collins' team.
No doubt.
But you knew before the season started, one of the few things that we did have right is you just knew the schedule was brutal.
Right? Worse than the country, probably.
And so when you sit there at the end of the day, if you're a Jackets fan, hey, I know it's all about wins. You want to go to a bowl. I get it, right? You want to see that progress.
Right.
I think you got to look a little bit deeper, though, when you look at Georgia Tech football in 21. I do think this team's better than
too.
They were a year ago. You haven't seen it on the scoreboard yet because, number one, schedule stuff and the tough start. I mean, there were some games early, had a chance to steal, didn't. Comes back to haunt you in some respect.
Right. They're close. They're very close. They're competing. And I know people hear this like, stop. We don't want to hear that. But you should. And to understand that you're going through one of the biggest overhauls in the college football era, going from triple option to the modern spread, it takes time. And it takes guys. And it's not just going to happen overnight. So you've got to be committed. You've got to understand this is a process.
I do think, though, that to fast forward the clock a little bit on the Jackets, 22 is an important year for Jeff Collins.
I don't think there's any question.
Right. I mean, you know, he's been talking about foundation and laying it, and he's had, you know, terrific recruiting classes. They've gotten better every single year from that perspective. I think next year, again, I couldn't even tell you on the schedule who they've got in their non-conference. I know that's Georgia and somebody else. But I think next year is the year that if you're a Jackets fan, you sit there and go, okay, all right, we get it.
Need to see it.
We need to start seeing some W's.
Yeah, translate to the win column. And again, you don't have to wait in this day and age. You don't have to wait on a recruiting class to grow up. You can go and get players, and they've been tremendous at that. I feel like Miami, Georgia Tech have probably been the best in the ACC at filling those needs of what they can do in the transfer market. Be another big year for them to do that.
All right, those three games that we just looked at real quick, Syracuse on the road at NC State, Florida State on the road to BC, Georgia Tech, tough uphill run at Notre Dame. Anything jump out at you in terms of something would surprise you?
Yeah, I am excited just to see the Phil Dracovic effect. I think this is going to be a really big game. Florida State favored. How much can he swing that team forward looking at that? And then, just Sean Tucker. Can he do enough to keep that game competitive to win? I'm thinking he has to have 150 plus on the ground, which he's more than capable of doing. But it's going to be a very tough task going against that NC State defense.
And the motivation factor, what I want to see the most out of that, all those games, is NC State's 1-2.
Yes.
Right? I don't if it's are they walking zombies still hungover from the weight game? I don't think they will be, because I do think this team's different that Dave Doran's put together from an experience standpoint. Mm-hmm. So I expect they'll be excited to play at home in front of that crowd, knowing what's waiting next week with North Carolina. Yeah. And the fact, again, still have a chance. Everybody put the all-in last week, and you're thinking, oh, you lost a game, you're done. No, that's not true at all.
And you want to see another fun matchup, that offensive line of NC State versus the rush attack from Syracuse. That'll be another good – there's so many matchups to watch in a game, but that one with Syracuse sixth in the country, getting sacks, getting after the quarterback, that'll be a fun to see. Can NC State slow that down?
Okay, when we return, though, we will go back to Virginia and Pittsburgh. Gentleman Pat Bostic, he's with us before.
Come on, Pat.
He will join us again to break it down. Pitt and UVA from Heinz Field tomorrow. Pitt wins, they're in. It's as simple as that. We'll come back and talk about it. Pack and Mac, you guys right here on the ACC Network.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Dog walking music for you. Nice and early during the eclipse this morning. Beautiful.
How many people do you think saw that?
I don't know, but it was cool.
You and two friends, maybe?
I don't know. At 4 o'clock in the morning, it was really spectacular. Whatever it's worth.
What'd Fuller think of it?
Oh, he thought it was a ball.
He did. I mean, he's smashing this tennis ball right here, right now.
All right, speaking of smashing it, let's bring on our next guy. There he is. He's loading up. Got a new ball last night. Emac was playing fetching with him last night, and man, it was game on. He'd have done that for about 3 or 4 hours. All right, Pat Bostic's going to join us from Pittsburgh. Panthers tomorrow with a chance to win, and they're in for an ACC title matchup here in the Queen City. First of all, Pat, always a pleasure having you on the program, and man, it has been a blast watching this team play this year, hasn't it?
It has. It has. Appreciate you guys having me. Obviously, a big game tomorrow, and hey, it's what you want to play for. In the month of November, you want to have meaningful football games at home, and senior day, all the things that go with it, setting up for really quite a send-off for Kenny Pickett, and I think a tough matchup. We don't know what's going to be behind center for Virginia. thinking Brandon Armstrong is going to play, that's obviously a really big factor in this game, but obviously the stage is set, and looking forward to a great football game.
Pat, what's the vibe of the team right now? With is there insurmountable pressure from getting to Charlotte, senior day, the emotion that comes with that? Where's everybody's head right now, and just wanting to play a football game?
I mean, I think they're pretty loose, Eric. I mean, I think this is a team that's kind of been there. This is the second time they've played for a division championship in 4 years, and had that last game be really the one to clinch it. This time it's at home, so that brings with it some added emotion. It's senior day, but this is a very veteran group, and a group that's had ups and downs this season. I mean, they're not 10-0 right now, so they know what it's like to be on the other side. So there's that perspective from which to draw, and I think they're going to let it all out there, go play the way they know how, and I really believe they'll play their best game of the year.
Pat, we had Kenny on the show this week. I was kidding around with him as soon as he threw the touchdown pass in overtime. All of a sudden, the heavens unleashed, and I'm figuring there's somebody on the sideline that has the hotline to the Lord who said, hey, it's time for the monsoon. Maybe it was from that Pitt Radio Network booth. There's a button up there you guys pushed for that overtime rainstorm. Yeah. That was unbelievable.
Yeah, Billy Hillgrove would be 81 tomorrow, and he has the button. He's got the rain button. in the booth. So it was certainly fortuitous, and I think had the situations been reversed, who knows how that game would have turned out.
So Billy and Dabo Swinney celebrating a birthday tomorrow. How about that?
It's pretty cool. I mean, it's to be able to call games with him, you know, is I'm really lucky. You know, the guy's been doing it for 50 years, and he's still as sharp as ever. So tomorrow will be a fun day, obviously the game, but to be able to celebrate with a living legend is I'm pretty lucky to be able to do that.
Pat, you mentioned that game and the celebration and the good vibes there. Is Lucas still screaming and celebrating?
I think he is. Yeah, he was he was on a high. He was directing that band after the game, and that hair was I don't know if that's a mullet or what it is, but it was doused and wet, and he was pretty fired up. But that was a big catch for him, and you know, he's had a couple tough weeks. Got dinged against Miami, and hasn't been as big a part of the offense as he was early in the year, but he had, you know, a couple catches early in that game to pick up first downs. And then that one in the rain, the conditions, he was split out wide left, and Kenny trusted him. So, you know, I'm happy for him celebrating, but that was short lived. I mean, it's been a work week for him. And I think as Jordan Addison becomes more of the star that he is becoming, Lucas Kroll's role in this offense could reemerge late in this year.
Pat, we know about Kenny. We know about all the offensive weapons, but we just did a segment about an hour or so ago, which was perfect for Eric McClain, talking about offensive line play. How would you describe the way they've played this year? I mean, this is the ultimate team game.
It is, and I think, really, there was a three-game stretch between Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech, and then the Clemson game where, you know, Pitt averaged 12 minutes and 30 seconds time of possession in the fourth quarter. And it wasn't just dink and dunk passing. This was, you know, muscle up, run the football against one of the best defenses in the country in Clemson. They had multiple long drives and finished the game on offense. And that comes back to the offensive line group. They've got a lot of guys that have played. They rotate. They've certainly been banged up. Hoy got hurt a couple weeks ago. Cradle got folded up on against Carolina Thursday night. But they're plug and play. I don't think enough can be said about the job they've done building depth on the offensive line, setting them up in that third and fourth quarter to put the ball in a tailback's belly and put the game on ice. And that's really what's been probably most impressive outside of Kenny Pickett this season has been how far this run game has come.
Pat, your defense has been a little bit sporadic this year. I think, you know, consistently able to get after the quarterback, but just the nature of, you know, the defense, there's certainly some opportunities for big plays to happen against you guys, regardless of if we see Brennan, you know, play for this offense or not. What can we expect to see from that Pitt defense this Saturday?
Well, I think it was fourth and whatever it was in that overtime, and they brought a six-man pressure. So I think you're going to see pressure coming from Pitt all day long, regardless of who the quarterback is. This is who they are. The Pat Narduzzi wants to put the game in the opponent's backfield. He wants quarterbacks to make tight throws under duress. And when they get after the quarterback, which they did in that first half against Carolina, they're as good as any defense in the country. But when you bring blitz, you're susceptible. If they pick it up, if they stone it, you're one-on-one on the back end, and there are big plays to be had. So there's a risk with it. But Pat Narduzzi's not one to keep a dice in his pocket. I expect to see them get after this Virginia offense and try to make them make plays under heat.
Pat, what would a second divisional title mean for Pat Narduzzi and where this program's going?
It would mean a lot. I think, you know, after the Western Michigan game, there were a lot of questions, and justifiably so, about where this thing was going. But they were unfazed, and they stuck to their guns. They've got talent. They've recruited well. It's not been four- and five-star guys. It's been three-star guys, a la Kenny Pickett, that have developed. And they've got a lot of guys coming back for years to come. So, you know, whereas a couple years ago in 18, you know, I wouldn't say you backed into division title, but it was you didn't have the lead for 5 weeks or whatever it's been, where you're playing with that pressure. I think this has a different tone and tenor to it. And I think the way they've won and the way they've played could allow this season to be a huge springboard. So certainly you're not thinking about that on Saturday. You're thinking about winning it. But I do think that, you know, this is a validation game for this program and where it's going. And, you know, you can't run from that.
Pat, you bring up Kenny Pickett and his development. I think right now the best quarterback in the country, the most consistent quarterback in the country, 163 yards away from being the single season passing leader for Pitt. What is his legacy when he leaves this great university, as you mentioned, senior day as well?
Yeah, I think he's a legend. I think he's a legend for the decision he made to come back. I think he's a legend for betting on himself and delivering, and that bet is paying off in more ways than one. And the number of games he's going to start and have won at Heinz Field and on the road, the way he's played this season, that I'm hoping, just because I know the young man, I'm hoping tomorrow's a coronation. Because he deserves it, he's earned it, and it's been nothing but hard work. And I just don't think you could find a kid that's handled the quick rise to success better than he has. He'll go down in Pitt as one of the all-time greats, and his name will be atop of those record books. I hope for not too long, but probably for a very long time.
Pat, we had Connor O'Neill on last hour from Deacon Illustrated, and we were talking about how Winston-Salem has embraced the Deacs and the student body coming out in record numbers to watch their magical run in the Atlantic. You can't help but notice when you watch a Pitt football game, you know what? A lot of times at Heinz Field, those bright yellow seats, they just glow in the dark. Hey, there have been some big games. Miami coming to town, Clemson coming to town, the Tar Heels on last week in the rainstorm, and now tomorrow with Virginia. You live in a football city. Man, the Steelers are king. Panther football, the whole thing. What's the vibe been like during this run for Pat Narduzzi and Kenny Pickett and what the Panthers have been able to do coming down the stretch?
It's been awesome, Mark. I mean, the student section has been terrific all year long. They've come out in droves. Typically on a Thursday night, we struggle to get them out of class, and they were there early. They were loud. And there's a reason that, I think it was Cal Adamitis went out and when Carolina deferred to take the second possession of overtime, Cal was quick to point down to what side of the field they wanted to play on. They were going to play in that student section, and those guys hung around, those guys and girls, and it's just been fun. I mean, I think Pitt fans have been starved for a special year for a long time, and I think the same could probably be said about Wake, although they've had their runs before. And, you know, when you see it come together and come around it, and you see one guy kind of leading the charge, that being Kenny Pickett, it's a powerful movement. And you know, this program's taking advantage of it, but more importantly, the fan base, the supporters, the students, everyone on campus has rallied around this football team, and that really is what makes college sports great. Is there's a built-in community that can raise you up even higher. And Pitt has done that. Pittsburgh has done that. And tomorrow is going to be, you know, just another example of what college football can be in the big city.
Pat, isn't it really cool to watch that trickle-down effect take place? And you know, and doing a play-by-play and color like you guys do with the radio network, to see it start and go through the journey, it's never a straight line, right? You talk about Western Michigan, like, man, where'd that come from? And then, you know, the highs of knocking off Clemson and then the low of the Miami game, and you're like, oh, my gosh, how's this thing going to end? And now it's right there for you to taste, right? It's right there for you to hug and to watch a city, like I said, that really knows, loves, and appreciates good football to get behind it and say, hey, those are our guys. That's our team. It's got to be a great feeling. Really cool to watch.
It's awesome. I mean, I'll share this anecdote just because it's, you know, I've been here for 15 years, and I used to drive out of the parking lot for the Pitt and Steelers as a player. And I always remember seeing the autograph hunters out there, and they never had anything Pitt. It was always Steeler stuff. Well, they're lined up to try to get Kenny Pickett coming out of the facility. And that's really cool to see. I think it's a microcosm, really, of the way the city's embraced it. You watch it come together organically. Nothing's been manufactured. There's been lows. But I think the confidence that Kenny's, you know, displayed, the way he's played, you know, there's been a lot of great players to come through this program. Larry Fitzgerald, LeSean McCoy, Aaron Donald. And the fans have supported them. But when you couple it with wins, which this team has done, you know, no one knows a winner like the city of Pittsburgh, and they're behind this program now.
You got it. Well, listen, tell Billy happy birthday on behalf of all of us here at Packer and Durham. Have a great broadcast and enjoy the journey, my man. Maybe we'll see you down here in a couple weeks.
Hope to see you down in the Queen City, guys. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Pat Bostic, Pitt Radio Network. Pitt, Virginia tomorrow, Brennan Armstrong. We have no idea, but we do know what Pitt's bringing to the table. And they kind of like their chances tomorrow, I think.
No, no question. I mean, such a special year from Kenny. I know you've heard that from us time and time again. But the decision that he made to come back, I hope it inspires others, truly, because, you know, for so long it's been leave as soon as you can. If you can go, go.
Get your money.
Get out of here.
That's it.
But patience is a virtue, and it's really paid off for Kenny. Of course, situationally, there's all kinds of things that happen. But it's been so fun to watch that young man just grow, develop, and turn into the best quarterback in the country.
And, you know, sometimes a lot of folks have ripped name, image, and likeness. This might be an opportunity where, you know what, in some respects, it was great. You know, college life is awesome. And if you can make some coin on the side and love what you do and love your teammates and love being on college campus and big man on campus, all that stuff.
That's right.
Go for it.
Why not?
Right. Well, might as well enjoy it while you can before you have to jump in the real world.
Absolutely.
Which you'll look back and go, man, college was great. But it's amazing how often guys are ready to get the coin. I get it. Hey. Right. Go chase your dream, whether you want to be an insurance agent or a National Football League player. It doesn't matter. I mean, right. Everybody's got their own passion.
That's right.
But you're right. He made one of the smartest business decisions of any student athlete that I can think of in recent memory by coming back. But on top of that, he bet on himself and his team.
Exactly.
And he has performed, and so have the Pitt Panthers.
And I think one other interesting thing that Pat said right there was that, you know, look out for Jordan Addison to reemerge as the superstar. Not that he's really gone anywhere, but, you know, to have these mega numbers. And what will that do to open up, you know, the rest of the offense? Because when you have that guy that Jordan Addison has been, that no matter what the situation, when the pocket breaks down, if we're going for a big shot, Kenny knows I can find three. And I know if I get it to him, anything can happen. So excited to see that reemergence, as Pat just kind of alluded to there.
And with all that love from Pittsburgh, Virginia fans are like, hey,
don't forget.
If number five plays, we got a chance.
We feel just fine.
Yeah, we got a chance. So again, fun game tomorrow, 3:30 tomorrow afternoon. Simple this weekend. If Wake wins, they're in. If Pitt wins, they're in. You know what your ACC championship game is here in Charlotte. It'll be Wake Forest and Pittsburgh, but they've got to get there first. And there's still a couple teams on the outside going, that's right. Hey, we got a that's chance. Right. We still got a shot.
Just lurking. They're just lurking. They're
you guys right have a hiccup, and, man, we're ready to pounce, see how that bad boy goes. All right, quick break. We come back. Final segment of the show, which always involves a little Bojangles weekend menu.
That's right.
And we got all kinds of stuff. We got hoops. We got football. We got volleyball. We got soccer. You name it, we got it. We'll tell you about it when we return. Pack and Mac. Got Eric filling in for Wes Durham. You guys right here on Packer and Durham on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Final segment of the week. It has been a quick week.
Flew by.
Won't be as fast as next week. Only 3 days next week.
What?
Yeah, no Thursday or Friday for us next week.
You get a four-day weekend.
That never happened.
What the heck are you going to do?
Radio or TV. No SiriusXM. No television next week, Thursday, Friday.
You're going to go crazy.
No, I'm not.
Yeah,
I'm
you are.
Swallow whole. That's what I'm going to do next week.
How many times will you go back?
I just keep
three
going.
Minimum?
I just keep
three
going minimum, until right. There's nothing left.
Right.
Just keep going.
Yeah.
Then you start.
I can't.
Then you start phoning a friend. Hey, you got any more turkey left over?
Fried turkey guy? What's your?
I love deep fried turkey.
Smoke.
I love all of it.
Just turkey.
I do. Turkey's
bring it
great.
On. I'm with you.
I am so.
You know,
turkey.
Kelly Gramlich is a ham gal.
I like.
I almost
ham too.
Ended the podcast.
I like ham too.
Not over
but,
turkey.
But no, turkey first, then ham.
Yeah, ham's for Christmas. Turkey's for Thanksgiving.
I like all of it. How about some pork tenderloin? Want to just go for the
how
trifecta?
Seafood?
No,
not a seafood guy.
No.
That's unbelievable.
No, I tell you what I am. I'm a Bojangles guy because it leads to a Bojangles weekend menu because the boys are about 10, 15 minutes away.
They're ready.
They're going through the drive-through. No butter, please.
No butter, please.
Two biscuits. All right, here it is. We are busy. Weekend menu brought to you by the good folks at Bojangles. Guess what, ladies and gentlemen? Today. How about this? How about like this afternoon?
Load it up.
Before the radio show starts. BC at Virginia Tech, 2 o'clock Eastern Time, volleyball. Pitt, Georgia Tech, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, volleyball. Then women's basketball. Towson at Pitt tonight at 6. Lafayette at Duke, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Women's basketball, all those games on the ACC Network. Football tomorrow, no problem. High noon, Florida State, BC, good one. Syracuse, NC State, 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Primetime game, Virginia Tech and Miami down at Hard Rock. So get that all over you. How about Sunday? Women's basketball, Penn State at Clemson at 2 o'clock, followed up with Auburn at Georgia Tech at 4 p.m. And then more women's hoops. East Carolina, Wake Forest at 6. Florida A&M at Miami at 8 p.m. Hoops, football, volleyball. You got the NCAA soccer stuff going on. If you want to find it, get that all over you too. That's a weekend.
We're loaded up.
That is a weekend.
You've got your sports. You've got your Bojangles. All is right in the
got
world.
The huddle. Wow. You boys are rocking it tomorrow.
It's like a cherry on top.
Well, I mean, you guys, you know, I'm just glad that you're going to be inside, warmed up, because I was worried about EJ last week.
Yeah. You know, a little soft. He's quarterback.
He looked a little chilly.
He handles the elements.
But he showed me after his days in Buffalo. I would have figured he'd have gone to Winston-Salem. Like, hey, no big deal.
I'm good.
Piece
of
cake.
That's what I thought. And he said, listen, I don't play football anymore, bud. I want to be warm. I don't do this anymore.
I get it.
I understand.
Totally get it. All right. We kid around about, I told you there's two really kind of interesting offbeat stories this week, kind of away. One involved the Texas Tech Radio Network, which they got suspended, double secret probation. The other one is Trey Turner, the outstanding wide receiver and former WRU winner. So he's road tripping for the game, all right?
Cool.
He's got this medical condition. He can't fly. So the Hokies are like, hey, man, we're going to drive you down 13 hours one way. 13 hours back the other way. So here's Trey Turner, drive for 25. Big shout out and thank you to the whole training staff for taking care of me, especially with my whole deal that I've got going on right now. Sorry. So they're road tripping.
They stick him in the back of a Tahoe there? What are we doing?
You got to chill and grill
stretch
a little bit.
The legs, man. What are we doing?
Man, I'm telling you, if I didn't have all this other stuff to do, I would have driven him. I would have. I'd have loved to have done it. Come on, man, let's go.
We need some content produced from, like a vlog, if you will, of the road trip. Do they have stops lined up? Restaurants on the way?
13-hour trip, you're going to have a couple stops.
But, you know, is it just, oh, there's a gas station, let's go? Or did they methodically plan it out?
The problem is, if I was driving him, I'd say, hey, Trey, man, I know this barbecue joint right off this exit. You go down the road. Trey Turner would have weighed 275 pounds by the time he got to the Hard Rock.
It would have been Jelani Woods of Virginia.
All right, Coach would have said, hey, wait a minute, what'd you do with Trey Turner? He's right there. Guy's put on 60 pounds.
He's an H-back now.
Thanks, Pac. Appreciate you taking every barbecue joint. We got to get out of here. Great job, Jen, the smart folks up there, Josh, Drew, back row, for all the whole crew here, Captain Ron, Robert, Otto, Eric McLean, the dogs, Clifford D. We're back Monday. Folks, enjoy the weekend. Talk to you Monday, sharp, 7 a.m.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.